We continue with EWTN Morning Host Superstar Friday. That's what I'm calling this. EWTN Morning Host Superstar Friday. We just said goodbye to Gloria Purvis, and now Matt Swaim. Matt is, well, he's one of the co-hosts of Sunrise Morning Show. I always wanted to say Morning Glory, but that's Gloria's show. Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN Radio. He's also the producer of The Journey Home on the EWTN Television Network and the outreach manager for the Coming Home Network. So he's a busy guy, and he's also got a new book. Oh, I got it right here next to me. Where did I put that book? Here it is. It's called Catholic Puzzles, Word Games, and Brain Teasers. And it's got his name on it. That's how you know it's by him. It says Matt Swaim right on the cover of it. That's from Ave Maria Press. To this hour with Matt, we are going to take calls from kids only. So if you're under 18, you're welcome to call. You got to get permission, though. You got to have permission to use that phone and call a radio show. So let your mom know that you want to call, or your dad know that you want to call, or your Aunt Becky, or, I don't think you're supposed to say Aunt Becky anymore. But anyways, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884 is the number. 1 hour of kids open forum with Matt Swaim, and guess what? I think we have a technical difficulty with Matt. Is there a problem, Nick? So that's all right. I'll go to calls. I'm gonna just wait for the easiest call from a kid, though. Like I need the kid to call with what are the two things that are used in communion? And I can say bread and wine or something. I need a really easy call. I'm gonna go to Gabe in Missouri, anyways. And see, maybe I can answer Gabe's very difficult question that I see here on my board. Gabe in Missouri, are you there with us? No, Gabe in Missouri is not with us. Is Matt Swaim with us?
I am with you, Si, all the way.
This is a horrible thing just happened, Matt. Not only did we have a problem connecting with you, I think I just hung up on a 6-year-old. So I hope that didn't happen. Well, we'll have to see. Gabe, call back. Matt, are you ready to take kids' questions?
I'm ready. I've been sweating this for like 3 weeks.
You have?
Since you guys reached out to me. I don't know that I've ever done anything this difficult in my life. I know Gloria had a hard hour full of hard questions, but I'm worried about the kids.
You are not wrong, man. The kids shows have some of the hardest questions we get posed. And then you also have to do so without using maybe your entire vocabulary. So you better be good too, because you're the first person we've ever entrusted with this outside of our own apologists. So
really? Normally you put the big guns, Jimmy Akin, Tim Staples, right, on these kinds of things. So I don't know what I've done here to get in badly with you all.
But, I don't know.
But we'll see what we got. You know, they say if you can't explain something to an 8-year-old, you don't understand it.
Oh, I don't understand anything then. But let's find out how much you understand. By the way, a little later in the show, I'm gonna tell you why you are my favorite person in all of Catholic media. And I say that, I know Gloria is gone now and she's not listening, but when I say
don't say that around her.
When I tell you why, even Gloria will understand that. But in all of Catholic media, I mean, think of every Catholic media person you know, you, Matt Swaim, are my favorite person.
Well, gosh, Si.
You'll find out why in a little bit.
All right.
Yeah.
Was this a pep talk speech so I could have the confidence to take these questions on?
I don't know what it is. You just better not blow it, man. You better not. Because we got
We'll see.
We have Cecilia next. And Cecilia's from Texas.
Cecilia.
And so.
All right.
Let's see. Cecilia, are you there with us?
Cece, they're talking to you. Say hi.
Hi, Cece. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. How old are you?
Four.
Four? Oh, you're four. Okay. And what is your question, Cecilia, for Matt Swaim?
Why is God three separate persons?
Why? That was probably a little hard for Matt. Why is God three separate persons, Matt?
Well, see, okay, so now this is a tricky one. You guys hit me with the Trinity first right out of the gates. I don't know if this is fair. This is something that I've got a little boy, and he's about 3 years older than you, and we've talked about this actually quite a bit. To say that he's separate persons is kind of a tricky thing, because Jesus is God, the Father is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. They're all God, but we see three persons because that's God is a community of persons, just like your family is a community of people. In a sense, you're all one family. It's now I'm going to be careful about wandering into heresy here, but God the Father and God the Son have such a perfect love that that love between them is a whole other person. And so if God is love, you can't love unless you have somebody to love, right? I mean, you can't love unless you love your mom, or unless you love your dad, or unless you love your brothers and sisters, which I know you do. So part of the reason that we understand God in persons, as opposed to just one guy up in the clouds, is because we know that God is love. And that helps us understand a lot of other things about God as well beyond that. I don't know if that answers your question. I hate to say too much more because it gets really complicated, and the older you get, you might get even more confused by it. But in the meantime, make the sign of the cross and realize it's all one motion, and that's part of what helps me to understand it.
Okay, Cecilia?
Hi.
Okay.
How was that?
She said it was good. Okay. Mom, thank you very much for the assist there.
You can't do that to me out of the gates with the Trinity and the kid. Man, Si,
hey, the kids pick
you?
The questions. We don't tell them what to say. Look, nobody's in control here, Matt. I don't know how it is where you work, but there's nobody in control here.
No, you know, that's how it is here.
Gabe in Missouri is next. I think this might be the fellow that I let drop before. Gabe, are you there?
Hello,
Gabe. How old are you?
Hey, Gabe.
9.
You're 9. Okay, great, Gabe. What is your question for Mr. Swaim?
Where is the Garden of Eden, and what is in the Garden of Eden today?
Well, they're short one apple, but other than that, oh, sorry.
I was about to say they're short one something, and a couple of fig leaves, if I understand correctly. The fact of the matter is that I don't know where the Garden of Eden is. Not even Cy Kellett, not even Jimmy Akin knows where the Garden of Eden is, because archaeologists have been looking for just such thing for centuries and centuries, and nobody's found it. It's kind of one of those things that I'm pretty sure that nobody ever will find until the end of time, because mankind, once we messed up, Adam and Eve, we were kicked out, and we were kicked out until, if you read in the book of Revelation, you see kind of a redoing of the Garden of Eden in the kingdom of heaven. That's what we left. That's what we're trying to go back to, perfect communion with God, perfect relationship with God, and perfect understanding and communication with God. And if we went back to the Garden of Eden, we'd be going back in there with the same original sin that Adam and Eve left with. And if you read in the book of Genesis, there's an angel with a flaming sword at the gates of the Garden of Eden. I would not go back in there. So I, for one, am not looking for the Garden of Eden, just so you know.
But all this,
and I don't think
I was just going to ask you, Matt, all the good stuff that was in the Garden of Eden, it's in heaven waiting for us there. Is that
I mean, if you look at the book of Revelation and what it's like when Jesus finally calls all of his people to himself in heaven, then you see basically a garden. You see a feast, right, with all these luscious fruit trees and everything else. So that's really what we got to wait on. And like I say, it was left with an angel and a flaming sword guarding it. So I don't think we're getting back in there anytime soon.
Now, I said this was Gabe, but this is Jacob, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, Jacob, thank you very, very much for the call.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you, Jacob.
Okay, poor Gabe has twice I've tried to put him on the air, and I failed. I'm going to see if I can find him. Gabe, are you there now?
I hope Gabe's easier to find than the Garden of Eden.
Gabe, I'm so sorry we've had trouble talking with you. How old are you, Gabe?
6.
You're 6. And and what state do you live in, Gabe?
Missouri.
Missouri, okay. You say Missouri, not Missouri. And what is your question for Mr. Swaim?
Why does God let bad things happen?
Oh, my goodness. Gabe, I don't know, but I probably know your parents because somebody would have to know me pretty well to have a kid ask me a question like that. That is a big, big question. You know what? There are people who are a lot older than me who don't know the answer to that question. There are a lot of people who know a lot more things than me that don't know the answer to that question. But I can give you a little bit of an idea, and it goes back to the last question about the Garden of Eden. If you were to build a robot, Gabe, and you were to program the robot to say, I love you, Gabe, would that robot really love you? Or would you just have programmed it to say it loves you? A robot wouldn't really love you, would it? It's just doing what you programmed it to do.
Yeah, right, Gabe.
So, God wanted us, you and me, to love him freely, right? To be able to not just say, I love you, God, and robot voices for the rest of time, but rather to really, truly, with our actual hearts, love him. And the only way to do that is to have the ability to choose to love him, if that makes sense. So, unfortunately, if we have the ability to choose to love God, we also have the ability to choose to not love God and all the bad things that go along with that. We have the ability to choose to steal or to choose to lie or to choose to do everything else. But we also have the ability to choose to love. And if we couldn't choose to love God, then what would be the point? We wouldn't be able to love God. So unfortunately, because love requires us to be able to have the chance to choose God, it also gives us the chance to choose bad things, if that makes sense.
I think it makes sense, but we have to go to a break. So, Gabe, thank you very much for waiting and calling back and all the things we put you through. We really appreciate it. I hope that was a helpful answer to you. Our number is 888-318-7884. Our guest is Matt Swaim, among the many other things he's done. He made the Catholic Puzzle Book. It's called Catholic Puzzles, Word Games, and Brain Teasers. It's from Ave Maria Press, and you should get it. It's a lot of fun. It says Volume 1 on it, so I assume there's more volumes. But we'll find out about that when we come back, and I'll also tell Matt Swaim why he's my favorite person in all of Catholic media right after this.
Hi, this is Bishop James Wall from the Diocese of Gallup, New Mexico. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
In his new audio presentation, The Very First Fathers, apologist Jimmy Akin takes you on a tour of the earliest Christian writings outside the New Testament, from the most famous figures and most notable works to those lesser known but no less important. This pivotal time in the development of the early church is revealed in fascinating detail. Jimmy shows how, even in the first century after the resurrection, it was necessary to defend and explain truths that are still under attack today, such as the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and the perpetual virginity of Mary. The Very First Fathers is a compelling look at the dawn of the Christian age and edifying listening for anyone who wants to understand and defend the full truth of Catholicism. Order your copy of The Very First Fathers today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Prayer is a variety of forms of communication. Sometimes we simply greet one another, hi, how are you? And we say small, short prayers similarly to God. Other times we engage people in deep conversations. Other times we engage our families and family reunions and big meals. Similarly with God, we engage him in Eucharist and deep meditation as well.
We'll be right back.
Swaim is the host of the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN Radio. He's the producer of The Journey Home on EWTN Television, which is, I don't know, that show is probably, it's got to be one of the top all-time Catholic television programs. Wouldn't you think? Wouldn't you think that's, I mean, maybe Fulton Sheen, you got to give him the number one, right?
Well, yeah, we're talking about existing live, current, going on programs.
Oh, no, I was talking about all-time. I think all time.
I can't speak to that.
Really? Journey Home?
I can't speak to that.
It's awful.
It's up there, man. Well, it pre-exists me. It started back in 1997.
Yeah, that's when it was good. But, oh, I'm sorry, Matt, that came out wrong. I apologize.
It's good now, too. It was good then, too. It's been good all the time.
Yes, it's been good for, right. It's been good for years, and people love it. And it's because it's people sharing their story of their encounter with Christ and his church. It just works.
It just does. And, you know, I joke with Marcus Grota. He's amazing. You know, I do radio, so you know what this is like when I say this, that it's an incredible feat that he's been able to make a 23-year career on asking 4 questions an hour.
That's funny. That is. Man, that guy got himself a deal, didn't he? He's asked like 11 questions this year. He still gets paid.
5 boxes of hankies and like an hour later, I mean, it's there. Yeah. It's just there.
Oh, man. I am in the wrong gig.
Me too.
888-318-7884. The number Thomas is up next. I am not exactly sure where Thomas is, Do I have a note on that? No, I don't have it. Okay, so Thomas, are you there with us? Are you there, Thomas?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Thomas. How old are you, Thomas?
Three.
You're 3. Oh my gosh, you sound so big. Would you like to ask a question for Mr. Swaim?
Do I get my question in the out of my mommy's belly when I'm in my mommy's belly?
Okay, so when did he get his guardian angel? When he was still in his mommy's belly or after he came out of his mommy's belly?
Well, according to, among other people, St. Thomas Aquinas, who you're not quite yet old enough to read.
I was three.
Did you? Oh, see, I was still Protestant, so I didn't. But we get our guardian angels from the very moment that we start off in our mommy's bellies. That's what Thomas Aquinas says, and he's a lot smarter than me or Cy. So I'm going to go with that.
He's smarter.
So, and if you recall, Jesus says that the angels of the little children are always before the face of the Father. So I would encourage you, I'm sure you do, Thomas, to always talk to your guardian angel and always ask for help for your guardian angel, because your guardian angel doesn't forget about you, even if you forget about them.
And so your guardian angel was with you the whole time you were growing in your mommy's tummy?
The whole time.
Yay!
Yay! All right, Thomas.
Wow.
Wow.
Thank you.
Bye, Thomas. Thank you very, very much. We appreciate your call. Lots of great moms and dads when we do this kids show. You can hear
that's
them.
That's a budding Thomas Aquinas right
know,
there is what that Thomas,
Thomas Aquinas
is.
Let's go to Jackson in Ohio. Let's see. Jackson, are you there with us?
Hello.
Hello, Jackson. How old are you?
Hello.
Five. You're 5?
Yep.
What are you going to be next year?
Am I talking to the Jackson 5 right now?
I'm getting
all right.
So I apologize for that, Jackson. Go ahead and ask Mr. Swaim your question.
Go ahead. Ask your question.
Go ahead.
All the stories that Jesus has told through.
Okay, so Jesus told a lot of stories himself. That's what you're talking about? When Jesus would tell a story, was the story true?
Yeah.
All right, so I could get into a much bigger discussion about what we mean by a story being true, but I will tell you this. I think what you're asking is, did all the stories that Jesus told actually happen? So, for instance, when he told the story of the Good Samaritan, or when he told the story of,
the prodigal son, maybe.
The parable of the lost sheep, yeah. or the lost coin, did those stories actually happen? The answer is probably not, but they didn't have to happen to be true. So Jesus is telling the truth about what we need to be towards our neighbor in the parable of the Good Samaritan. He's telling the truth about how God the Father loves us in the parable of the prodigal son, but he's making up a story to show you and explain to you how that is true. Now, there are other things that happened in Jesus's life, like the miracles, and those definitely did happen. But the stories that he told, like, for instance, about a parable of a sower who went out and threw seed in a field, and different seed grew faster than others, and some seed died. He's telling that to show us how our hearts are receptive to the Word of God, how we listen to the Word of God and do what it says. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's talking about a specific guy who was out there throwing seed in the grass.
So he told us stories to teach us.
Exactly. So just like you would hear any, your parents have probably told you stories about, you know, Goldilocks and the Three Little Bears to teach you a lesson about something. The fact of the matter, though, is that Jesus' stories are way better than Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Jackson,
and I'll leave it at that.
Is that okay, Jackson? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
All right, Jackson. Thank you very, very
Somebody
much.
Somebody laughs
what
at
a
my
charming
jokes. Thank
person
you, Jackson.
Jackson is. Yes.
Thank you, Jackson.
When he's much older, she's going to explain the Jackson 5 joke. Really, you got to do a joke about what is now a completely obscure musical group for a 5-year-old?
Not obscure. I heard him in the grocery store the other day.
I'm just saying for 5. Well, okay, fair enough. Can I tell you now why you're my favorite person in all of Catholic media?
Oh, well, now that you can undo what I just did, please do.
Wait, what do you mean undo what you just did? I thought that was a lovely answer.
My terrible. You can't invite me on and expect me not to do dad jokes on a kids show.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, well, that's what we do. Dad jokes do dad jokes. I mean, dads do dad jokes.
That's true.
That's what we have to do. It's a law. Matt Swaim, this is why you're my favorite person in all of Catholic media. Years and years ago. Yeah, I know you don't remember this. This is not. But before I was.
This is not a story about a guy named Cyril Jones Kellett, is it?
Oh, come on now. You do remember. I am shocked. Yes, I use my shorter name, Cy Kellett, when I'm on the air. But yes, my longer name is Cyril Jones Kellett. And under that name, I published a science fiction book, a Catholic science fiction book, years ago. And nobody wanted to talk to me about it. But
that's not true. Somebody wanted to talk to you about it.
One guy invited me on the Sunrise Morning Show to talk about my Catholic science fiction book. And I'll tell you what, the guy wasn't named Brian. He was named Matt Swaim.
So, you had to find the one other nerd besides Jimmy Akin out there who cares about that sort of thing and get him a copy of the book. That's what it came down to.
I'm so grateful that you did it. It was very, very kind of you to have me on the air to talk about. I mean, really, who writes a science fiction book about a bishop from Mars? Who does?
C. Jones Kellett does.
Yeah. Yes. So you'll always be my hero.
Long before Catholic Answers, by the way.
Long, long before Catholic Answers. That was long before I had the daily show on the Immaculate Heart Radio Network. Like, I think I was doing a Saturday show, if that. I can't even remember. But but you were kind enough to have me on, and
I'd do it again.
Would you really? I'll come. I'm available Monday morning if you want to talk about the book. It's like
all right. We're on at 6 a.m. Eastern on EWTN.
6 a.m. Eastern.
Was that three for you guys?
That's
3 a.m.
still night here. I'm not. It just doesn't mean that.
You
much
guys haven't come back from the Waffle House at that point.
Do you want to? Okay, we got to go to calls, but I'm going to tell you something about the Waffle House at the break. Well, maybe I'll say it on the air now that I said it. But I have something sad to tell you about the Waffle House. Jude is waiting, however, and Jude is in Missouri, and I'm pretty sure Jude has a question for you. Jude, are you there with us?
Yes.
And how old are you, Jude?
I'm 11.
And what is your question for Matt Swaim?
My question is, whenever Jesus died on the cross, how come God cast away the devil or made the devil go away?
Okay, so when Jesus died on the cross, God made the devil go away?
How come he
Are you
didn't?
Kind of asking?
Oh, how come he didn't? Oh, I
oh,
see what he...
Oh,
so we,
that's,
yeah.
That's a much bigger question.
Yeah,
yes.
So why do we still have to deal with the devil?
Yeah, if Jesus died once and for all to forgive our sins, how is there still a devil walking around on the earth causing trouble? That's a very big question, because Jesus didn't die to turn the world into heaven. He died to redeem those of us who are still walking on earth and who would still continue to be born. Part of his plan that we can't see yet is how this is all going to all going to resolve itself? How long is it going to be till Jesus returns? So even after Jesus is risen from the dead and ascends into heaven, the apostles still have to deal with opposition and beatings and slavery and martyrdom and prison and shipwrecks and all the other stuff. Even the apostles who walked with Jesus still had to deal with evil in the world. That's a big mystery. What we do know is that Jesus came to give us power if we trust in him to fight against evil and fight against the devil. And until he comes back, our best bet is to stay close to the sacraments.
All right, Jude, thanks for the question. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more.
In his new audio presentation, The Very First Fathers, apologist Jimmy Akin takes you on a tour of the earliest Christian writings outside the New Testament, from the most famous figures and most notable works to those lesser known but no less important. This pivotal time in the development of the early church is revealed in fascinating detail. Jimmy shows how, even in the first century after the resurrection, it was necessary to defend and explain truths that are still under attack today, such as the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and the perpetual virginity of Mary. The Very First Fathers is a compelling look at the dawn of the Christian age and edifying listening for anyone who wants to understand and defend the full truth of Catholicism. Order your copy of The Very First Fathers today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers Live.
Love and beauty. As a little girl, Dawn Eden Goldstein knew she wanted those things, that in them, somehow, she would find God. Over the years, as a rock journalist, she moved among some of popular music's best-known artists, straining to capture that transcendent love and beauty in every note and lyric. In Sunday Will Never Be the Same, Dawn recounts her spiritual journey in beautifully wrought detail, mixing powerful accounts of trauma, healing, and epiphany with funny anecdotes from inside the music scene. It is the rare conversion story that delights as it inspires, amuses as it edifies, and ultimately lays before the reader a lived testimony to the transforming grace of Christ. Order your copy of Sunday Will Never Be the Same by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
I'm Gloria Purvis.
I'm Monsignor Charles Pope.
And I'm Deacon Harold. The Morning Glory team discusses that you are not your sin.
Monday morning, 7 Eastern. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
It is Kids Open Forum this hour on Catholic Answers Live. 888-318-7884 is the number. Evie, we dropped, I don't know if it's pronounced Evie or Evie, but somehow your call dropped and we really want to talk to you. So give us a call back. We don't want you to feel bad that we missed you, Evie. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you're under 18 years old and you have a question about God, a question about the sacraments, a question about angels or Jesus or Mary, the mother of Jesus, or the saints, or any question at all about the Catholic faith or what Catholics believe, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. You got to get permission. That's the only thing. You got to ask whoever's in charge of the phone if it's all right for you to dial 888-318-7884. Matt Swaim is taking your calls today. He's the host of the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN Radio, the producer of The Journey Home, which he himself will tell you is the greatest Catholic TV show ever. I believe that's his exact... Is that his exact?
But don't take it from me.
Don't take it from me. Watch it on the EWTN network. You know, we have a TV show on the EWTN network now, Saturdays.
I know. At 5 in the afternoon. Know it.
Yeah, and we're trying to get you to be on it by having you on this show. That'll be weird. Like your way to
that
get
would be
on
weird.
Your way to get on TV on EWTN is through us. That's very
so
strange.
No, but you've brought something up very quickly that I want to address, and that is that aside from the science fiction novel interview that you mentioned earlier, this is the first time that you and I have been seen in the same space.
Right.
So that dispels the myth that you and I are the same person.
That it does. It does not dispel the myth, however, that you are a better person than me. And I don't think there's ever any that's going to get dispelled.
That's up to the viewers.
I got to tell you my sad thing about Waffle House, all right? Because it hurts my heart when you mention Waffle House in such positive, glowing terms. I looked it up on the internet, and if you live in San Diego, the closest Waffle House is in Phoenix, Arizona. I have to drive across a desert to get to a Waffle House. This is not an acceptable way for a human being to live.
There's a song lyric in there somewhere.
I know. I have to drive to Phoenix, Arizona if I want to go to a Waffle House. I think I have my choice of three Waffle Houses if I do, but this is no way to live. I got to get, I got to get back to where they had a Waffle House. All right, are you ready?
You got to get back to reality, back to sanity.
Right. It's like getting back to the Garden of Eden to get back to Waffle House.
That's really what it is.
Joshua is in Massachusetts, and he has a question for you. Joshua, are you there with us? Hi, Joshua. Are you there?
Hello. Yeah.
How old are you, Joshua? Or am I saying your name right?
Nine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. And you're 9 years old, and you live in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And what is your question for Mr. Swaim?
If Jesus died for us, and He sent the Holy Spirit. But
yes.
How do we know if you have the Holy Spirit in you?
That is a great question.
That is a really good question.
And you are correct. Jesus died for us, and He did send the Holy Spirit. So how do we know if we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, Matt?
Well, there are a couple of ways. First of all, and your parents will be able to nod at you or shake their head when I ask you this question. Were you baptized when you were a baby?
Yes.
You were. Okay. So from that point forward, the priest over top of you made the sign of the cross and said, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. At that point, you are granted the gift of the Holy Spirit in baptism. And when you're old enough, you'll be confirmed in the Catholic Church. And that will stir up those graces of baptism. And you will learn all about, as you're preparing for confirmation, the gifts of the Holy Spirit that you really should let flourish in your life, the gifts of piety and fear the Lord and wisdom and all the other ones that really kind of help you understand what a person who lives with the Holy Spirit looks like. The Holy Spirit is around you all the time. And some people might say, well, the Holy Spirit descended on the apostles at Pentecost after Jesus went up to heaven. And yes, the Holy Spirit was in a special way with the apostles then, but the Holy Spirit has been throughout the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, from the book of Genesis, we hear that the Holy Spirit is hovering over the waters of creation from day one. So the Holy Spirit is with you all the time. You can't see the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's always with you. And every time you make the sign of the cross, you're supposed to be reminding yourself of that baptism, that first moment when you receive the Holy Spirit, because you say in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit's with you all the time. And I would say that if you want to try and know how the Holy Spirit's with you, I would pray to the Holy Spirit every day and say, Holy Spirit, show me where you are today. Show me how you want me to live. Show me what things you want me to do in my family without having to even be asked. And ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to live more like Jesus, if that makes sense.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very, very much. We appreciate that.
You can feel the hesitancy in my voice. I want to make sure that I'm not saying crazy things. I'm not saying yes just because their parents say that's good enough.
Oh no, yeah, you really. I know you do want to be helpful to a kid. Like you don't want
right.
to leave. Yeah.
These are huge questions.
They are, yeah. And if I and I suppose if I was his age, my thing would be, well, I can't feel the Holy Spirit. So that's the part that's
right.
important. Is you're not always going to feel the Holy Spirit, but you can trust in your baptism.
Right. And it's just like with the sacraments. Jesus is present in the Eucharist every time I go up there to receive communion. I don't always feel the same way every time I receive communion, but I know He's there. I know He's there. And sometimes I get a special sense of how powerfully He's there. But God's around us all the time. And sometimes we don't feel Him and sometimes we do, but He's always there.
Thank you so much again for that call. We go now. Our next caller is Jesus. And Jesus, I don't have a location on you, but are you there with me, Jesus?
Yep.
And how old are you?
12.
12. And what is your question for Mr. Swaim?
Why can't women be priests?
All right. I guess I just take it from there.
What were you expecting? Something more? It was a perfectly good question. Why can't women be priests? Are you scared to answer that?
I've heard people ask that question in a lot longer forms before.
Oh, that's one. I should have told you this about kids. Kids are better than adults at asking questions. Adults have
to
tell you
the point.
Yeah, they have to tell you every reason why they thought of this and what they mean by it.
That reminds me of a story.
Yeah.
A long story short, here's what I think. So, okay. This is a very good question, and it gets back to the whole question of what a sacrament is. So, with a sacrament, you always have the ingredients, and then you have the recipe, or what we call the I'll just simplify it. You have the ingredients, and you have the recipe. So, for the Eucharist, we have the ingredients, which are ordinary bread, unleavened bread, and wine. And the recipe, just like you'd make a cake, is the priest saying the words of consecration over the bread and the wine. So in order for the recipe to work, if you were to bake a cake, you can't just take random things from your cabinet and throw them in a bowl and mix them up however you like and bake them as long as you want and have the recipe come out right. So the ingredients for the Eucharist are bread and wine. The recipe is the words of consecration that the priest prays over them. The ingredients for the sacrament of the priesthood are a male and then the ordination rite when the bishop ordains the priest. And the reason that we know that those are the ingredients is because when Jesus made the first round of priests, he picked 12 men. He didn't pick any women. He didn't even pick his own mom. If he were going to try and pick a really holy person to be the first priest, he would have picked his own mom because she was immaculately conceived and without sin. But for some reason, he chose men. And there are people who can speculate as to why, but those are the ingredients and the recipe is ordination. So in order for it to really be a priest, you have to follow the recipe and you have to use the right ingredients.
Jesus, does that answer work for you? Or would you like to follow up with another question?
No, it works for me.
It does. Okay, very good. Thank you very much, Jesus. And thank you, Matt Swaim.
Thank you for giving me a chance to almost dig another hole there.
No, it's a tough one because, but I like the way you answered it, if I may say. I'm not like the official critic of answers or anything, but the fact is we know that that's what Jesus did. We don't necessarily have to say we know why in all of its implications. We don't know. And I think sometimes people get caught up in the why, and it's just, well, you know, are you going to follow Jesus or not? And that's the way he did it.
He said all kinds of things that are hard that I still have to do.
Yeah, he did. Right. Love your neighbor as yourself.
That's where I get stuck.
I know. It's always a tough one, especially in traffic. Jesus, thank you very, very much for the call. Hey, we got some open lines for young callers. If you are a kid, if you're under 18 and you have a question about the Catholic faith, if you have a question about the saints, about God, about angels, about sacraments, 888-318-7884. And Evie, we missed your call. I'm sorry that we did. Please call back. We would love to talk with you. 888-318-7884. Hey, I want to mention again that Dawn Eden is on her book tour. She's in Washington State this year. Dawn writes books, has written a book for Catholic Answers called Sunday Will Never Be the Same. It's about her life as a rock journalist and then how she became a Catholic. It's about her journey into the Catholic Church. Dawn Eden Goldstein, she'll be in tomorrow she'll be in Richland, Washington on July 14th. She'll be in Sammamish, Washington on July 15th in Columbia Falls, Montana. And then she'll be on July 17th back in Tacoma, Washington. Then there's more dates after that. You can find all of it at the Catholic Answers Facebook page. But go see Dawn. She's a wonderful speaker, a wonderful person. I think Matt Swaim probably knows her. Everybody who knows Dawn is happy they know her.
She's wonderful.
Yeah. And it's a great kind of old-timey. I don't know how to say, like a true like memoir, just with all the fun that that implies, not without any agenda, but to share with you what happened and how she came to Christ. Sunday Will Never Be the Same, it's the book. You can find out where she's on tour by going to our Facebook page, the Catholic Answers Facebook page. Right back with more calls from kids for Matt Swaim, and we'll see if he messes up after this.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live.
Have you subscribed to the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter? This is Catholic Answers Live host Cy Kellett, and I want to tell you about our new weekly newsletter full of behind-the-scenes information and facts you need to know about the show. It's easy to sign up. Just visit CatholicAnswersLive.com and look for the newsletter sign-up box on the front of the page. It's a great way to keep up to date with what's happening with the show and see what's coming in the days ahead, delivered weekly into your inbox. Sign up today for the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter and see what you've been missing. Go to CatholicAnswersLive.com.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to
why
a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are
committed. As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Matt Swaim is our guest. It's a kids open forum. If you've got a question and you are a kid, you are welcome to call as long as you've got permission to dial that phone. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. Let us go now to, wait, do we have anything we had to wrap up from before? No, we're good to go forward, right? Yes. Okay. Megan in Maryland. Apparently, I'm just talking to myself for this segment. Megan in Maryland, you're next. Your question for Matt. Are you there with us, Megan?
Yes. Hi.
And how old are you, Megan?
I am 16 years old, and I'm a rising sophomore.
A rising sophomore. That's
rising
the best kind
sophomore.
Of sophomore
I like
to be.
It. Well, I should point out, Megan, I'm in Maryland, too. I'm outside of the Washington, D.C. area, so go Terps.
All right. And your question for Mr. Swaim.
Yeah. So, I love my Catholic faith, and I love spreading it as much as I'm supposed to. And I go to this Montgomery College. It's a summer program, and I love it. And and my friends ask me, so, Megan, what's it like being Catholic? And I answer all their questions. But then, like, one kid, he's an atheist, and he's like, oh, you believe in God? I said, of course, and Jesus loves you. And he's like, okay. And then the teachers and the paraeducator says, so they heard, and they're like, well, actually, God and Jesus, that's then they say, well, actually, well, God and religion is too personal to be talking about, so why don't we change the subject? And I stand there, and I'm thinking, but this is a free country, so I don't say anything back. I don't fight with them, but then I say a prayer to our Lord, and I say, Jesus, I don't really know what to do, and it's a free country. I want to spread my faith like an apostle with my time and talent, but the paraeducator and the teacher just told me to stop talking about it in a very nice way, but I'm not sure if I should or if I should keep going.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, that's a great question. And honestly, you're dealing with that at 16, but just wait till you turn 18. And just wait until you turn college age and a college graduate, and then you get into a workplace and this kind of struggle happens. You're experiencing something that even people younger than you who are listening right now have had, which is, how in the world do I live my Catholic faith when I don't seem to find any places where I feel free to talk about it? One of the hardest things to do is to win an argument in a 5-minute span on a campus. But what I will tell you is that people notice who lives differently. on college campuses, in high schools, in middle schools. People notice, and you'll be surprised over time if you live your Catholic faith openly. I'm not saying, you know, wear necessarily t-shirts or like, you know, visibly hold your rosary out when you pray it on the middle of the campus green. But if you just make the sign of the cross over your meals, if you just don't engage in the kind of conversations other people do, don't laugh at the same kind of jokes everybody does, you will be surprised. It may not be in the kind of context that you would plan, but somebody's going to be hurting. Somebody's going to have a problem. Somebody's going to have a question, and they're going to think, you know what? Maybe I can go to Megan. She seems to pray. I don't know if that's much of a consolation for somebody like you sound like I do. I did at that age, which is you want to go take on the world and tell everybody everything all at once. But sometimes you just have to say, Holy Spirit, I'm trusting you to guide me into every interaction I have today. And please just go before me and prepare me to do what you have me to do in any situation.
Megan, what do you make of that?
My friend Elizabeth, she asked me a lot of questions. She says she asked questions about, like, oh, does the Catholic Church have oppressive list of rules? I said, well, they're not oppressive. And so and then I told her, God gives you free will. And Sam was like, well, I'm an atheist, so I don't really believe in God. I said, well, okay, I understand that. But he's always watching over you, and he loves you guys. And everyone, and like most of them look at me, and then it's like, dang, Megan got some good answers. And I say, oh, well, thank
well, good.
You. But we are the beloved, I said, but we are the next generation of disciples. And you, I said, you are free to believe that. You don't have to. But whenever, I said, but whenever, like, whatever questions that you have for me, I'd be happy to answer. But then that's when, like, the teacher was like, oh, no, we're not talking about religion. That's too personal. I'm thinking, well, that's just between me and God. But between me and God, I bring the world to Christ, but through time, pretty much. Like, through
Megan,
time.
I just feel so delighted to get your call. This is a wonderful, delightful call. And you should be a Catholic radio host.
Not yet. Not yet. Let me retire.
No. Yeah.
No, I know. Yeah.
As soon
yeah.
as Matt and I are done.
Actually, that might be sooner than you think.
It might be sooner than you think, Matt. Oh, well, oh no. Yeah, you didn't do the show on racism with Gloria. So.
Oh, no, but I listened. I was there.
Yeah. I know, but it's a nervous
Megan,
topic.
I would say, Megan, never let go of that zeal.
Yeah.
Never let go of that.
Of course, I would never let go of my faith. No, it's very important to me.
Well, God bless you, sister. Thank you very, very much for the call. It was very
encouraging.
I don't know if you got anything from us, but you gave us a great deal of encouragement, and I greatly appreciate it. I have to keep moving, though, because I want to get to other people who are on the line before we go to the break. So let's go to John in New Jersey. John in New Jersey, are you there with us?
Yes.
And how old are you, John?
10 years old.
All right. And thank you for calling. Your question for Matt Swaim.
When I get mad, it's really hard to believe in God, and it's like I ask him questions about, like, how he, like, exists and how he was, like, made, and I don't know, like, the way, like, how the world was created, and, like, how he made it, and how, like, he made us, and, like, how he was made.
And that makes it,
yeah.
So you have a hard time believing in God, John?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Matt?
And you say it's especially when you get angry?
Yes.
Well, I can tell you this. You're kind of in decent company because I don't know if you've ever read the Psalms, the book of Psalms, but there are a lot of Psalms where David or whoever happens to be writing at the time says all these things that they don't like about the way the world is going, and they say them to God. And I think that that's the important part of this. I don't think we are ever going to figure out why all the bad things in this world happen, why God allows certain things to happen, why God allows pain, why some people seem to do well even though they're bad people, and why some people who do good things don't seem to succeed. But I would go try and read some of the Psalms, because they just are people expressing their real, honest emotions to God. Sometimes they're angry, Sometimes they're frustrated. Sometimes, you know, they're mad. Sometimes they're sad, whatever it happens to be. But they're taking those to God. And I would say, John, always say, anytime you have one of those emotions that hits you, that makes you upset, don't just think to yourself, I, John, am mad about this. Say, God, I'm mad about this. Because that will remind you that he's there even when you're angry, and he's there even when you're sad.
John, what do you
think?
That's
the best I can give you on that.
What do you...
What?
What do you think, John?
I don't know.
It's a tough problem you have. I mean,
it really is.
And a lot of people have it. I mean, sometimes it's hard to believe in God. I would tell you this, and I wonder if Mr. Swain feels the same way. There have been many, many times. See, I'm old now, and when I've had a question that I asked God, and I realized a year later, or maybe even 5 years later, the answer became clear to me. Like, it takes time sometimes. And so I want you to feel like, just trust him. The answers will come, but they do take time sometimes. Do you have that, Matt Swaim?
I can echo that, but I can also say that all your emotions are real, John. You're not crazy just because you're upset and have difficulties sometimes believing in God. You know, I pray, very often, sometimes, you know, God, I'm having trouble today. Show me where you are in the world. Because sometimes you look around and you see, you know, people suffering. You see your own day not going the way that you want it. And you think, you know, how can there be a God if this day is this messed up and it's only like 9:30 in the morning? You know, ask God to show himself to you. You wouldn't be the first person. The saints all the time had difficulty in prayer. And still kept praying. So I would say, just don't give up. Don't give up. Okay. God's not giving up on you.
Okay, John?
Okay.
And John, you're always welcome to call, even when it's an adult show. We're happy to make time for you because I feel a little worried about you. You sound like a very good young man. So thank you for the call. Call back anytime. We'd be happy to talk with you. I, however, am going to go to one more call because I don't want poor Daniele, who has been waiting in Oregon, to not get her question answered. Daniele, are you there with us?
Hi.
Hi. How old are you?
Good.
Oh, good. What's your question for Matt Swaim?
My question is, how is God not a human being?
That's a great question.
Well, the question, the answer is, he kind of is. This goes back to the very first question that we had at the very beginning, which is, you know, kind of about how the Trinity works. And God forever is three persons, one God and three persons. And one of those persons, the second person of the Trinity, became man. And we pray that in the Nicene Creed every Sunday, that when Jesus became incarnate in the womb of the Virgin Mary, he didn't stop being God. He just started being man. So he is forever now fully God and fully man, moving forward from the moment he became a human being at the moment of conception in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So God is infinite and invisible and eternal, but he's also in the second person of the Trinity in Jesus, fully human, just like you and me, with all the crazy things that go along with being a human being, with eyes and ears and nose and a mouth and everything else. So, you know, God the Father created us as human beings, and then God the Son became one of us.
Daniele, thank you very, very much for that question. I'm sorry we don't have any more time, but thanks to everybody who called, and particular thanks to Matt Swaim. Matt, thanks for just a very, very fun hour.
Yeah, you guys are great, kids. You have the best questions.
Just the kids, or were the adults involved in the show okay, too? I mean,
They just dialed the phone.
You can get Matt Swaim's Catholic Puzzles, Word Games, and Brain Teasers from Ave Maria Press. This is a great one if you're road tripping this summer. Get this and take it on the road trip or wherever you're going on vacation. You'll be happy you did. You can always catch Matt, too, on the Sunrise Morning Show, 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock a.m. Eastern
you'll,
time.
You're asleep, Si. You'll be asleep then.
We'll see you next time. Catholic Answers Live.